Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
as we celebrate Indigenous Indian Day. This Monday, I guess I had a conversation with a gentleman back east who says sports should not be political. I had to beg to differ with that, because if sports is not political, we would still have the Washington Football Club with that nasty name. The Cleveland baseball team would not be the Guardians if we didn't do our political push. Next will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves. Your days are numbered. It's only a matter of time before you change your name and change your mascot, whatever it is. It's coming. You're going to be kicking and screaming, dragging your butt to the finish line. But it's coming. The Atlanta Braves have tried to avoid this by changing their logos 8 years ago. Not enough. We need to change your name. Ladies and gentlemen, sports is always political. You're telling me that you can have the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City Chiefs, it's all right. There's no other culture as a mascot except for Native Americans. It's words. The question you need to ask is why. I'll tell you why. Because you had a political power. That's why. You had a political buddy to push this around. The day is coming when the Atlanta Braves will be no longer. The day is coming when the Kansas City Chiefs will be no longer. Just like we have the Washington Commanders today. That's why we have the Cleveland Guardians today. This is our legacy, thank God. Because when I was growing up, I never thought we'd have the Washington Football Club change their name. I never thought the Cleveland Indians would change their logo and their name. But because of the political politics of sports, it's gone. Atlanta, you're next. Kansas City, you're next. Just get ready for it. Because it's coming. Now, one more day to political note. African Americans believe in the Constitution. African Americans want the Constitution to work. The conservative wing of the American political spectrum is now trying to say African Americans don't believe in American law. That's not true. And if you keep saying The sky is green. And we all know the sky is blue. continues to beg AIDS within his social life. It's not going to work. I like Herschel Walker, but he should not be running for anything in this country. Not because he's a black man. Not because he went to the University of Georgia. But because of his conduct. My fellow Americans, if Barack Obama has done the same thing, Republicans will ride him all the way to the sunset. Republicans are trying to placate Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker should disappear into the sunset. Have a good life with his NFL, USFL career. If Georgia elects this man, this country's over. If Georgia elects this man, it tells me that money talks and nobody runs a marathon. If Georgia elects this man, the party's over. Because Republicans don't care about you or me. They don't care. As long as they get the House and the Senate. If the House is done, the Senate is done. You don't believe me, right? Okay. Well, let's hear what Roy Martin has to say.
Oh, white conservative radio talk show host Mark Levin was beside himself because we dared to speak the truth about voting rights in this country. On his show Friday, he was just losing his mind, ranting and raving about me and Maya Wiley. Listen to this fool.
So the party that believes in democracy doesn't even care or comprehend that we're not a democracy, that we're a republic, a constitutional republic. Not a democracy. And the framers were very clear about that. You cannot have a majority vote on whether you have unalienable rights or whether natural law exists or whether your individual liberty should be expanded or shrunk. That's just voting. Voting is certainly an important aspect of a republic, but it's not the end-all and be-all freedom is. Any civil society. And so we have Maya Wiley, civil rights activist at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, voting rights forum today, and Roland Martin. So you see, when they say they believe in democracy, they don't even believe in our Constitution. Let me just say this briefly before I get to this. They oppose the Electoral College. They oppose the filibuster, which really is the defining process of the United States Senate. They attack the founding, which means they attack the Constitution, which followed the founding. They attack separation of powers. They attack the Supreme Court. They want to pack it. They've tried multiple times through their history. They do not believe in this system. They wanted to pass a national voting system that would have violated at least three provisions of the Constitution. And this is what I'm talking about. They do not believe in freedom of speech, certainly not yours. They do not believe in the free exercise of religion as they try and not only exclude it from the public square, but exclude it, period, depending on if you want to be.
I'll tell you, listen, they don't believe in believe in slavery. Excuse us that we don't just exalt the slaveholding founders. Excuse us if we ain't all hyped about the 3-5 compromise. They don't believe in religion. Mark, black folks more religious than y'all. Hell, we had to believe in Jesus just to deal with you Jim Crow racists. He's going on and on and on about they don't believe in this at all. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. They don't believe in the Constitution. Mark, why did we have a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment? Why was the Civil Rights Act of 64 passed and the Voting Rights Act of 65 passed and the Fair Housing Act of 68 passed? Because y'all wouldn't believe in the same damn Constitution your ass say you love. If we were to believe that that document meant everything in the world, guess what? Then we wouldn't have had to add new laws. And the new laws were passed to force white folks to enforce the very laws that have already been passed. And had we been treated equal, there wouldn't have been no need for 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment. So I love it when these fools say, oh my God, they don't believe it. What did Dr. King say? Be true to what you put on paper.
Yes.
The thrust of the Black Freedom Movement was to force y'all to abide by that very Constitution y'all say y'all love. That was the point. So I just get a kick out of these folks who lie to their audience, oh my God, they don't believe in these things that they don't believe in this. Hell, black people believe more in the Constitution and the government than many of you white conservatives do. Because clearly, y'all damn sure don't believe in law and order after January 6th. Oh, want to go there, huh? Surely, you don't believe in everybody has the right to vote, because y'all wouldn't be using all of your voter suppression tactics. Surely, you know, because you say, oh, no, we all believe in the right to vote. Really? How? Because you're stopping others from doing so. Nice try, man. Nice. They don't believe in the First Amendment. Oh, so now you care about the First Amendment? Because y'all always skip that one to go to the second. just play by 60 seconds more of this fool.
He cake for his...
I don't need to see more seconds in this fool. January 6th told me everything I need to know about this country. January 6th told me we have two Americas. January 6th told me we had a rogue president. January 6th told me that if you're a lighter than you do almost anything and get away with it. That's what January 6th told me. I don't know what it told you, but that's what it told me. The Roe v. Wade decision, and this is where I'm going to add this, the Roe v. Wade decision is a warning. It's a warning to all women. Was a warning to black people. Was a warning to Latinos. thing that was granted to you in the beginning. Look out, because what Roe v. Wade said was we can do whatever we want to do and get away with it. Next is the Voting Rights Act. Next is, as a history major, I'm warning y'all step by step, Roe v. Wade was the first step. Look at what they're doing in Alabama, Mississippi, in Georgia, right? They're trying to gerrymand the districts. Step two, right? Step three, immigration. I told y'all before, immigration did not become an issue until after a real issue, until after the Vietnam War. Why was that? Because the previous war, the Korean War, we imported Korean War. Now we're importing Vietnam War. People of color, okay? Here we are, 2022, in Colombia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Panama, Brazil. Okay? People of color. They're coming here in droves. Well, we got to control this. No, you don't. If you do it right, no, you don't. It was okay for a Poland. It was okay for German Americans. It was okay for Irish Americans. All of a sudden, now we got an issue. Now we can't afford it, you guys. Now we can't feed your children. Come on, stop playing. You have multi-gazillionaires in this country. Look, you have gas coming. And see, this is what people better wake up. You have a gas company who made $7.5 billion this month. $7.5 billion as the gas prices go up. What are you doing? But yet, we cannot afford Venezuelans, Cubans, Nicaraguans, Colombians, Panamanians, Mexicans. Can't afford that. No. We can afford to build a new stadium. We get on board to get new uniforms, new equipment, new baseball bats, new balls. Yeah, we can do that. America better get it right. I'll be serious here. America better get it right because the world's watching. Just as the world was watching 50 years ago. When you poured water on these kids who were fighting for freedom, you poured water hoses on these young black Americans fighting for justice and the right to vote. And the only reason why you change your mind is because the Europeans got on your mind. What are you doing? What are you doing? Okay, all right. We'll give you the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendments. Maybe I'll leave it alone. Here we are 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, and you're trying to cut that in half. Why? Because you can't do what you want to do. America, you better get it right. Now, when I was 20 years old, I thought we would not be talking about this. Here I am, almost 70. I'm right back in the same pot. Right back in the same planet. What are you doing? Well, all I can say is, I have a plan to say it right. With a little bit of faith.
Patience,
Excuse my manners. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gary Gray, good of a go. October, Saturday afternoon, football, baseball, basketball, hockey will begin this month. Great time of the year. Whatever sport you like, you got it. So, yes, sir. And, we'll be going on until December. As the first quarter of the NFL season is over, I can't believe the first quarter already gone at the end of this week. But all the Eagles are the only undefeated team in the National Football League. My late sister would be very happy about this. She'd be singing this Eagles song all day. As the NFC East looks like it's up in division of the league. Everybody expected to be the NFC West, the AFC West, and not so. The New York Football Giants and the Dallas Cowboys are right behind the Birds with 3-1 records. The Eagles and Cowboys will meet soon. And that will be the defining moment of the NFC East. The sports world continues to buzz around the Draymond Green and Bull incident and goes to water practice. I think this is the thing. As long as you are a good guy, it's okay. As soon as you become a bad guy, we gotta talk about you all day. And yeah, Draymond Green gets off right now and then. Every team in this league has a Draymond Green to a degree. Every team has one, but it will tell you that. Stop it. It happens. Move on. Disney World, congratulations to Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Isaiah HBCU Week. Orlando Park giveaway is scholarships. Free ticket to rides. Admission. So congratulations to HBCUs. This week in Disney World, Florida, Orlando. Hope you had fun down there. I wish I could be with you down there and see all the beautiful people. But I'm in Cali. Miami's Tua Tagovailoa might be out for the rest of this year. It could be a career-ending concussion. And the Miami Dolphins didn't take responsibility for this. The man played on a Sunday, and he had a concussion. He should have never played on a Thursday, but he did. Why? Because the payroll must be met. News of the week. The Chicago White Sox manager, Joe LaRusso, will call it a day again. Art Institute of University of Iowa Baseball. He is the second winningest manager of Major League Baseball. So, thank you for the years in Oakland. Tony La Russa retires again. Abuse in the women's soccer industry starts from junior high school and has to be stopped. Systematically, reports have been issued to the soccer, women's soccer leagues all across the nation. Finally realized that it's going on. Sue Yanzan, 16-3, defeated Mackenzie Dorn in the UCF 2-11 strawweight division. At mainland China, Yan Zhuan defeats Mackenzie Dorn Monday. The 49ers get the owners of the LA Rams as they sack Stafford 7 times and Matthew threw for 3 interceptions in a Niner avalanche over the Los Angeles Rams. Tuesday, sad news from University of Texas. As WNBA LA Sparks star Timothy Johnson passes away at 37 years old from breast cancer, a 7-year battle, as he lost it on Tuesday. Now, condolences to LA Sparks and the University of Texas Longhorn Nation. Mike Tomlin, head coach of Pittsburgh Steelers, named Kenny Pickett rookie for University of Pittsburgh, would start for Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Buffalo Bills. Wednesday, Casey Royals fired Mike Matheny after 4 years of futility. And the Kansas City Royals become the longest team not to be in the playoffs. Wednesday night, the man who caught Judge's 82 home runs will become a rich man. We will see. The Rams Niner game, a incident almost at halftime when a protester for human rights and animal rights and whatever else rights, he got tackled by 2 Rams. Well, this guy went to Supreme Court and filed a charge against the LA Rams. This ain't going too far because he trespassed on the NFL field. He interrupted a game in progress. It ain't going far. On Thursday, one of the ugliest games ever in the National Football League. 12-9. Indianapolis Colts against the Denver Broncos. No touchdown. Wilson, I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson. But he does not look like the Russell Wilson in the Seattle green uniform. The different version. And we go into baseball. Last week, the Atlanta Braves of the New York Mets for 100 wins. And the Atlanta Braves took the Mets, took the R out of the Mets. And they lose yesterday. Matt Scherzer got bombed yesterday. 7-1, 4 homers. And the game was over after the fifth inning. So what's going on with the New York Mets? As they do game two today. Last day of the regular season was Wednesday. And we should be celebrating the great accomplishment of the year. Albert Pujols with 703 home runs. And all rise, Aaron Judge gets 52 over for the season. As we tell Babe Ruth to move over. For real, John. We all know, and I want to get this straight right now, that Barry Lamar Bonds is in the record books. Don't forget that. Because if you do, you're in trouble. Barry Lamar Bonds is the leader in homers. Is the leader for single season home runs. And will be until somebody breaks it. Baseball tries to get holier than thou with their steroid issue. Look, stop it. Barry Bonds is the leader of home runs and career home runs with 73 home runs per season and whatever number, 760, whatever it is, for the career. Stop playing around and get it right. I'm going to take a break.
BlackAthlete.com. BlackAthlete.com. Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between, we focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
How would you go to BASNewsroom.com? And get some good articles on there. So check it out, brothers and sisters. We got, my man back in the house.
Yes, indeed.
How you doing, bro?
Good afternoon, G. What's going on?
First of all, how you feeling, my brother? How you feeling?
Well, we're feeling much better, thank you. And
we're
doing what we can to hold things up here because there's so much shit out here on the streets politically. You know, noise-wise, there's been a lot of stuff that they're throwing out here, hopefully that black folks will ignore and focus on the main stuff that really needs to be focused on.
Well, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel there is a threat to the African-American right now. And this threat is loud and strong. This threat is coming from the Supreme Court. This threat is coming from the Republican Party. This threat is coming from the police force. There's multiple. I don't know if African Americans are paying attention. I don't know.
Well, how do you... I say, as far as what you're saying, it's definitely implied. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. It's pointed in our direction. There's no question about it. However, the thing that bothers me most is as this thing continues to sit, we're distracted with more crap, like the nonsense going on in Georgia with Herschel Walker. That's just, it's designed to distract. I don't think when they drafted him, they expected to win that state back, at least that seat back in Georgia. And now everybody throws it behind because that's the Republican way. No matter how bad it looks or smells, they're going to go with it until it's done. And if they get the win, so much the better. If they don't, oh well, you know. So I think right now, unfortunately, black folks are caught in a quandary. We're sitting there listening to folks. We're sitting there trying to do what's right, but they don't take our vote seriously. And I think because of that, there's going to be a lot of fractious nonsense after all these elections are over that would make it seem as if they really didn't care about us at all.
Michael, what gets me upset is this. The conservative wing of the Republican Party,
yeah,
insists that black people do not like the Constitution. They insist that black people do not like laws. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? If it wasn't for the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment, why would we not believe? You're talking out both sides of your mouth when you say this. Because if we believe in the Constitution, that means we would believe in slavery. That's what it means.
Right. That's true.
If we believe in the Constitution, then we believe in three-fourths of a person.
That's true.
It's
in print.
So you need to get your story straight, conservative Republicans. Trust me, I had it with the January 6th. Okay. And those January 6th protesters have been African American. They would be either dead, in jail, or on drugs.
But let's just say they would have been dead. They wouldn't have hesitated. They wouldn't have hesitated to open fire. They wouldn't have hesitated to use full violence and the full force of the government. And they wouldn't have hesitated to say these cats were insurrectionists and that they really were trying to overthrow the government. I mean, we saw even less than that in California when Reagan said enough with them and all of a sudden got nervous about the Black Panthers. We know that this shit exists. We are put in a really, not even in a bind. It's less than a bind. Because it's like they're asking black people to faithfully hold on to what the Constitution's about. Considering that you didn't make the Constitution for us, it's asking a lot, let's put it mildly. And unfortunately, until they decide that it's worth everybody's interest and not just black people's interest, we're going to get a response. They don't care.
See, my thing is this. You sit there, and complain about immigration. You have the audacity to complain about immigration. After all these years, you people go over here from Europe. That's okay. As soon as it became a Latino issue, now you got a problem.
The tide shifting.
Let me make this very clear.
No.
America has room for everybody to come.
Right.
And when you sit here and tell me that you cannot afford, stop it. Because the gas company this week made $7.5 billion. Like, where's that money going?
Yep.
$7.5 billion, folks.
I'll go you one better, Gene. I'll go you one better. Look at all the damage from Hurricane Ian. South Florida is a shambles. There are areas down in South Florida that will probably never get to back to being fully fixed yet, no matter what FEMA or anybody else comes out of their mouth with. It's an area that needs a total rehab. It needs to be totally refurbished. You have lots of documented workers who can go in there and fix shit. I mean, seriously, it kind of writes itself. You know, you got damage from the storm, yes. You have funds allotted to make sure the stuff gets fixed. Fine, hire these people. Instead, you got the government playing games, shipping them off to Martha's Vineyard and everywhere else, you know, thinking that,
my question to them is this. The hurricane comes to tear them apart.
Right.
Why are you going back to the same place again? See, we're folks.
I used to feel that way in Mark, Kansas, when tornadoes would tear shit up there, and I'm like, why are they moving back to the same spot?
Thank you. What are you doing? And we're paying for this. Get out of here.
But the bottom line is, whether it's FEMA, the Army Corps engineers, or whomever, they're going to need people to help fix this. You've got a workforce at the ready who wants to get stuff done, and they refuse to ignore how effective it can be because they're playing politics with the amount of money that's going to be needed to fix this.
Michael, you have a governor of Florida who is sending people to New York. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, you also have a governor who said, there's no such thing as global warming. I guess there's no such thing as global warming now, huh, Rick? You know?
That same governor, When Hurricane Sandy hit New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, that governor said, let them rot. That's what he said, let them rot.
Yes, he did. But I got to give it to him. He didn't eat crow. He said, thank you, which is what he was supposed to say. I was there. I lived through Superstorm Sandy, and it really was a superstorm. Too often they engage in hype about weather and things like this, but whenever you see boats land in backyards of places where there's no water, then you know somebody's telling you the truth. And Superstorm Sandy really is that. Yeah.
He had tore up bridges. He had tore up roads. He picked up boats. And put them 3 miles in there. These big boats.
Yep.
Come on, man.
No. There's no question. Something has to be done. And something can be done. But they refuse to do it because it's too much pot calling the kettle black. Rick Scott would have his ass bailed out by the same people he's trying to send to Martha's Vineyard and New York and Chicago elsewhere. who would be busy cleaning up debris and boarding stuff up, fixing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's too much like the truth.
Well, you know, I wanted to get away from politics. I spent 15 minutes earlier in the show in politics.
Okay.
My last word on this is America better get your house in order. I'm being serious. You better get your house in order, because if you don't, Nikita Khrushchev, I'll never forget this. Nikita Khrushchev at the UN said, Russians don't have to worry about America. America's gonna implode itself. Here we are, 2022. Guess what? They're imploding itself, but these idiots running for office.
That's true. But Russia wasn't worrying about the fact that it would implode. Russia was worrying about the fact that, okay, if we're seen as being too much on the side of the United States, we have to change our tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Russia is going to always be Russia. Russia is always going to have a separate agenda. And it's going to be different from what the United States offers up.
Yeah.
And now, 62 years later, we're worried that one idiot will sit there and fuck everything up because he'll push a button that shouldn't be pushed, and it'll start the pushing everywhere. And ultimately, one nut will destroy everything because they can, not because they want to, because they don't want to accept the fact that, well, one, the world's getting darker. It's going to be a lot more dark folks like you and me over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Instead of accepting that fact, well, it's race replacement theory. You got to get rid of these folks because you're not going to replace those white folks. This is our shit. And they need it. Big a deal, they wouldn't even become candidates. That's how bad it is. You have people accepting alternate realities. Yeah, well, the election was fake, or there wasn't the outcome that they wanted, so they just say, we'll make something up. And once they've made something up, they have to stick to it. It's like the lie. The lie, once it starts, you can't stop the lie, because once you do, it's not a lie anymore. And that truth remains distorted until it's accepted. No one can accept it.
Michael, this is what bothers me more than anything else. How can you support a man who not got impeached once, but he got impeached twice?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. You're accepting the reality that this is somebody who believes what you believe. That's the only reason he gets listened to any amount of time. Oh, yeah, I lost. Wow, poor me. He's not saying I lost because I wasn't as good a candidate. He's saying I lost because somebody had to fix this. And somebody else had to say, you know what? He's right. It was fixed. We should look into this. And dozens of examinations into results proving bogus, countless lawyers spouting noise about how all this was taken away from them. Even one case where somebody had the nerve to say they won by 400,000 votes, 400,000 votes rather, yet they needed to borrow 11,000 something votes for Georgia. It just tells you the limits of how.
Michael, when we were growing up as kids.
Yeah.
We would call this a sore loser. That's what we would call it, right? When we were growing up as kids.
Yeah, that's what you would call it.
That's right. Because when you complain, say, my dad and my mom said, if you got beat, you got beat. Move up, move on.
Right.
If you got beat, you got beat. I can help her get better to the next time. And these fools don't want to do that. These fools.
No, they do not.
These fools are threatening the democracy. And see, when you start talking about democracy, what do Republicans do? They go, well, you know, we're not really Republicans. We're Republican. Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
That's right.
And they
yeah, what are you talking about?
They do this kids, it's like, you came in a corner, and they always get out of the corner by saying something stupid.
True.
Last time I checked, we were still in democracy. Am I correct, man?
Yeah.
So what is Republicans doing with this Republican stuff? Where is that coming from? It's coming from because they don't want to deal with reality. And reality is, in democracy, everybody counts. You don't want to do that.
You can't have democracy count if you look cut democracy out from the very beginning, saying the results were fake or altered because of cheating. It was exactly what he was telling everybody, and nobody listened. He told you all, if I lose, I'm going to cheat. He said that. I don't know where everybody is coming from with they don't know the message. He told you he was going to cheat. He was going to fix the mail machines. He was going to do whatever he had to do. He hired someone whose responsibility was dealing with the mail. They distorted that. They followed his policies. They were literally going to take mailboxes away from some street corners because of it. And even with all of that, they still haven't resolved the situation. If somebody tells you what the hell they're going to do, pay attention. I'm going to cheat. Oh, okay. That's what he did.
I'm going to tell you how I'm going to cheat you. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it.
I'm not making it up. That's what he did.
Look, the United States has to be real. What we might be real is let the best man
should.
But because of the way the world is now in this country, I doubt if we ever get back to that again. I'm being serious. I don't think we'll ever get back to that again.
I believe it. If we don't get back to it again, it'll be because of the same things that set all this off. If I won, I won. If I didn't win, somebody cheated. It's going to be a mess, and they can't fix it. That's the thing that I'm telling people the truth about. They can't fix it, and not because they don't want to. They can't fix it because this is going to become a separate business now. It's going to be politics, or what they would say from sci-fi, plans within plans. You're going to hire people specifically to do things, to ruin things. You're not going to hire them to fix it. You're going to hire them to continue complicating things. They're going to jam the works up. And the worse it gets, the harder it's going to be. So if somebody does get elected, it'll be a different process with making sure that there's a bunch of electors who aren't really electors to jam the works up. This is going to stay like this for a while. It's a mess.
Oh, wow.
It's going to stay a mess.
Michael, I have a surprise here.
The undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, by the way.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
I believe that the Eagles will take apart the Dallas Cowboys.
Yay!
Here's the reason why. The Dallas Cowboys are a good team. They really are. They're a good team. They're a good defense.
What?
The Dallas Cowboys cannot score. If you corral their wide receivers, they cannot score. That's something serious.
Well, I'm about all that. They do have decent receivers. What I do like is that the Eagles have balance. They've got a great balance between running and passing, and Jalen Hurts, don't it, has made them realize that he can get both things done within the framework of their offense. He can throw for 300, or he can run for 200. And because of that, that makes the Eagles doubly dangerous. Some of the pieces that they fit in on defense, like Jordan Davis at defensive tackle, Hassan Reddick. I mean, they filled in spots that before were weaknesses. And now all of a sudden, the Eagles are scary.
Now, you know what else I like about this team?
What?
And not political. All of your Eagles team is political. There's some political nonsense going on. This is the first team where I can root for because there's no political nonsense.
It's ironic that you say that because I was just thinking about the fact that it's been about 20 years since Jeffrey Lurie bought the team. When he bought the team, he spent $200 million for them. Now, think about how much they're worth now, Gene. That was a good investment. We always talk about how Daniel Snyder made money off the Washington team, and yeah, that's a given. But we never talked about just how much money over the course of time as the team is valued. Washington was valued 5 times over. The Eagles have probably made their investment 10 times over, and they're still making money because they're the only undefeated team in the league right now.
I remember when the Lincoln Financial Field was being built. I have never been in Lincoln Financial Field. That thing is a thing of beauty. That thing is a stadium of beauty.
It's a nice stadium. It's a nice stadium. Mm-hmm.
I never been in there. I
want
to go, but I never been in there. So,
well,
I always came in the middle of winter. And it was too cold. Mm-hmm. Too cold.
Yeah. No, it's a nice stadium. And one thing that Pennsylvania does do well, or at least Philly does well, all the stadia are in one location. So it's easy enough to get
to. Old school. Philadelphia Flyers, Phillies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's old school. No city does that anymore.
Not anymore. That's true. Everything's there. Everything's easy to get to, even though it might be a pain in the ass getting out. It's easy enough to get there, and for the most part, each game or each whether it's the Sixers, the Flyers, the Eagles, or the Phillies, most of the stadium, there's good sight lines where you can see what you want to see from wherever. All right.
And we got some rock-a-rock-a robots going on here this weekend. Last night I turned the game off.
I can't say this because I'm a member of the evil empire. what I can say is that Major League Baseball wanted better numbers, so they increased the number of teams in the wild card.
Right.
A good idea in theory, but
it's really good.
What good is it if you've got teams playing and the game is still bad? I think that's what baseball's run into. You got this juxtaposition of the greatness of Aaron Judge, who's going to make a lot of money next year.
Yeah, buddy.
And the mediocrity of the 8 teams that are playing right now. You've got, okay, so what? Best 2 out of 3, you move on. It's a good idea. It's exciting, or has the potential to be exciting, but baseball somehow has missed the boat on generating its own excitement. We don't know what's going on. And frankly, to some degree, we don't care. You know, unless it's your city, you don't really know whether or not the baseball playoffs or the postseason is worth anything to you. If you're in Baltimore or Seattle, you might be happy. You know? But even if you're in Philly and Philly finally made it, so what? You know, you spent all this money, and I mean all this money, on Bryce Harper. And what did Harper get you? Harper really hasn't gotten you anything. You can't say it was a good investment. You know? The baseball team still sucks. The bullpen still sucks. So what do you get from them? Nothing. You got other teams like the Dodgers and the Astros, and the Braves, who are bona fide pains in the butts,
right,
because they play baseball a certain kind of way, and they play well. So it's like I don't have anything to look forward to. And the matchups don't make it look forward to, don't make it as a premise to look forward to, because it's baseball. Baseball doesn't have the fire. NFL, I know, all right, I got the Eagles and the Cardinals coming this weekend.
Right.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to watch the game. And
right,
I'm getting excited watching the game. All right, so Phillies against whomever. I really don't care. If they win, they win. They move to the next round, then I'll be interested again. That's not good. And baseball created this mindset of, okay, move on. I don't like
well,
the
I think baseball tried gladly eliminate that one and done. You play 162 games and you play one game better. You can't.
Yeah,
what
that's
I
true.
Think, what I think will happen is you're gonna see a five game first round. That's what's gonna happen.
Benefit from falling back. If they drop to 154 games or even 148 games, that's too many games. It really is. I can't see a record being set like Judge, even as amazing a feat as it is. I can't see people getting excited about it because he did it. But next year, will he do it again? No. And
no,
will there be an asterisk because he did it under certain conditions?
Yeah.
No,
it's
a mess.
That's like the Barry Bonds argument. I get so tired of people bringing up Barry Bonds argument. Look, the guy here is 73 home runs in one season. That's it. You want to put an asterisk about it? Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
The guy is an home run eater in careers. But you want to put an asterisk, but go ahead. But Barry Lamar Bonds, to me, to get our strength, Barry Lamar Bonds is and always will be the home run king. I'm sorry.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And nobody's going to change that. Nothing can change that. No revisionist history is going to get in the way of the fact that Barry Bonds is the home run king.
Thank
now,
you.
Whatever Judge did in hitting 62 home runs, 154 games, doesn't even come close to the fact that Bonds did what he did in the time that he did. This is a false stat that Major League Baseball is trying to germinate into something that matters, and it's not going to work.
Let me ask you a question. I want to see if you're thinking the way I'm thinking.
All right.
If Barry Lamar Bonds were white, and he did what he did, would this be a question?
It wouldn't be a question. It would be a fact. And facts are irrefutable.
I'm just asking you because I look at Mark McGuire. Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa thing. And they can't be ugly face all over McGuire and Canego. It was all over as the both guys. And see, what bad about it was either, okay, you like McGuire or Sosa? I am twice as good as Sosa and McGuire. I'm going to prove it to you. And he did.
Yeah, he did. That's what bothers them. He did. You know, that doesn't change. And the reality about the so-called steroid issue, the steroid era, and baseball, chicks dig the long ball. The bottom line is, if you can't hit a curveball, don't bother coming. It doesn't matter. Seriously. If you can't hit a curveball, this conversation is no worth having.
Yep.
They already know.
Yep.
You know?
I'm very disappointed in baseball because baseball doesn't get excited until it gets to the playoffs. And, you know, now you have a chance to really, really do something. And they're messing it up again. Like, what are you doing?
I don't understand what baseball's trying to do. I mean, I know it's the
first season.
They're
trying to be like football. Nobody can be like football.
They can't. You can't. I already know. Listen, everything is set up for baseball to succeed. The format's different. There's more teams. There's more games. Everything should say, well, we got something to look forward to. But really, there's nothing about baseball that's making me want to go, let me get my stuff from the fridge, sit down, and watch the game. That's a lot.
I go to one game a year. One game a year. And either the New York Yankees
mm-hmm.
or the New York Mets when they go out here to the West Coast. And
okay.
Then one of the other, New York Mets or New York Yankees.
Right.
That's all I go see. And in Oakland, is the cheapest, is one of the cheapest things you can get. So
no question.
That's the problem. It's the product.
Right. So tell me what you just said.
Where you got a double A party. I'm not going to pay for that.
No, well, think about what you just said. You set aside money for one game each year. You don't care if it's Mets, Yankees, I mean the Yankees A's or Mets A's. You want to see that one game. And you made it clear to yourself that the product is inferior. Everything still comes back to the fact that if you don't have something that's worth seeing, nobody's going to see it.
Yep.
So, it's a mess.
No doubt in my mind right now that the Oakland A's are going to Reno. They can talk all going to Vegas. They can talk all aspects they want to talk. They can all mean they want to have. But that team is going to Vegas. It's going to Vegas because they want to extricate themselves from Oakland and the mess.
Yeah.
Oakland and Maine.
Yeah.
That's why they're going to Vegas. They're out of here. It's only a matter of time before they leave.
I got to ask, how much? How much are tickets to see the A's when you go to see them?
Okay. For a bleacher, breeder's seed is $20. $20. It's all baseball.
That's a good price. Ridiculous.
Yeah, see, so it's very low. So there's nowhere else.
Yeah.
Nowhere else.
Well,
I go over to San Francisco, and you're going to pay $300 for a second seat. You're going to pay $300 for a second seat.
It sounds like you've put yourself in fan purgatory. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. The Giants are a $300 ticket, but the A's are three times less. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And what does that tell you? They don't care. They don't care.
Well, let's put it this way. What happens if there's a Las Vegas A's next year or whenever they decide to move? Would you go to see them play? And would you be a phone around them? Mm.
No, because it's an hour and a half plane ride for here to Vegas.
Wow.
I'm not going to do that. And then that's what baseball tells you what it's going to do before it does it. And they've been telling us for years they want this team in Vegas. They want this team in Vegas.
I heard that.
And the reason is because, you have San Diego.
Right.
Two of the LA teams down there. And you have the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right.
So you have 16 in less than an hour from each other.
Okay.
That's why what it is. Because nobody wants to fly from Arizona to Vegas or LA to Oakland or Arizona to Oakland or San Diego. Nobody wants to do that anymore. They want Oakland. They want exclude Oakland from the map. That's what they want to do.
Well, hold on a second. It sounds more like Major League Baseball wants to punish Oakland for being where Oakland is instead
yes.
of the fact that,
yes.
you know, it is not as desirable a location as L.A. or Frisco.
And the reason, I'm going to tell you the reason why, Michael. The fan base of Oakland is Latino, Filipino, and white. The majority are Latino and Filipino. I'm black. So it's people of color as a fan base of the Oakland A's.
Alright.
This is like the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves were in town. What did the Atlanta Braves do? They moved out to the countryside.
They did.
The fan base, the Oakland fan base, is people of color. That's why I had to get out of here.
Well, it wouldn't matter if the team was good. If the team was good, the fan base would maintain it.
Yes. A lot of the old Oakland A's fans,
yeah.
Swiss
90s.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's done the 80s in the most days. Mid-90s. That's it. And
my
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the name of that tune. So who you got for the World Series? Who you got playing for the World Series?
I got the Evil Empire against whoever. So, I'm slightly prejudiced, but yes, that's what we're looking at here.
We'll take the Yankees and anybody. I think the baseball world wants the Dodgers-Yankees thing again.
If it's Dodgers-Yankees, it's going to be a huge fan infusion. There'll be a lot of eyeballs looking at it. But I don't think it'll be something that they make on purpose. They would love to see it. They would love
baseball
to see it.
Baseball is so predictable. I can see this about 3 months ago. So here we go, Dodgers, Yankees, here we go.
Exactly. We shall see. Say what?
Do you think Deion Sanders is going to move to Florida?
I think if he wants to, he should. And if he should, if those jobs are available, he has a right to either one of them. He's earned it by winning games. He's earned by creating buzz. That's something that any coach, regardless of what color he is, has earned. So I don't begrudge Coach Sanders. If he wants the job at Florida or Florida State or whatever, that's fine. If he wants the job at Jackson State, right on. Keep it going. But don't fault the man because he's created a buzz that's made his situation attractive. I think that's unfair to him.
I'm really happy that Jackson State is doing so well. I'm really happy because I'm waiting for HBCU to upset SC school or Division One school. I'm waiting for that to happen. It's gonna happen real soon.
Well, I hope it will happen, but I have a feeling that Coach Sanders is firm in the sense that he knows what he has, and he's going to make the best of what he's got in terms of his team doing well on and off the field.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask Lukey to do it well, too. 38-14. I'm a happy camper. 38-14.
Oh, shit.
38-14 going into the fourth quarter. Oh, I'm a happy camper.
It sounds like you have the game in hand, my brother. Yes.
Actually, the top five schools in the HBCUs are Jackson State, Alcorn State, Prairie View, Virginia Union, and North Carolina Central. I wish I had Reggie goes, but you know about Virginia Union. They look good too. Number four in the HBCU rankings. Also, North Carolina Central, which is undefeated, but they rank five. I wonder why they rank five.
Well, the fact that they're undefeated will get them enough attention. Somebody's going to kind of knock them off. So I'm not worried so much about that. The thing that impresses me most is the fact that they are undefeated. So, yeah, come get them. Because you're going to ask them, say, not really. We got to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with these guys? They're undefeated.
Well, Jackson State played Alabama State today. Florida A&M is at South Carolina State. And Southern is at Prairie View. Alcorn State is at Mississippi Valley. Morgan is at North Carolina Central. And Delaware State is at Norfolk. And the crossover game is Auburn at Auburn. That should be interesting. I want to see if Auburn can be Auburn.
Well, I think
it's
not because
it's the Ivy League. Ivy League is Michael. The Ivy League is playing HBCUs this year.
Listen. Because there's more streaming available, there are more opportunities as far as games. And the streaming has made all these games attractive. We didn't have this before. Certain teams would just be out the mix. Even if the games were going on, we couldn't go and see them because they weren't considered attractive. Now, it's like a smorgasbord. You can see everything on column one, column two, or column three of the menu. And it's just a matter of what time it comes on. So more choices make it more convenient for fans. And I'm all for that. And especially HBCU ball.
Let's go up with Debbie.
Uh-oh. Can you hear that? Now, I saw that game Thursday, and I was sick to my stomach. For one, it was a stinker of a game. No, really, it was. We got to call it like it is. The game was a stinker. And it seemed as if everything had worked itself out to... Denver had the clock. Denver had everything in their advantage. And they ruined it by being greedy instead of just going for a field goal with less than a minute left with a very reliable field goal kicker. I can't see
I don't understand if you have a tie game. It happened up here in San Francisco.
But you know, as long as we have field generals out here, if we got one like Russell Wilson, it's going to have a stain on it if you hold him up to a real stinker of a game where he should have won. Everything was on the line. The ball was in his hands. He could have just got a yard and got the first down and got what it was with it. He chose to throw the ball. The coach, I think, is severely lacking in a lot of things. I think Denver's in a real mess.
I thought you would never say that.
They lost their tight end, Tinge White, who was one of the best in the league. They had other things, but we thought Russell was ahead of the curve. He could beat all these things. Russell obviously can't. And now, because he can't, they got to make adjustments. We know where the field generals are doing well. Now, an established spot like Denver, where the team should be competing for playoffs, is up in question. And what are we going to do with Russell?
I'm glad that Geno Smith, people finally get to see what Geno Smith, you really do. I always believed in the brother, but he never got a chance to show his skills. But this year, finally got a chance to show his skills. So congratulations to Geno Smith up in Seattle. Go do your due.
Well, it's true. Geno's played well. He got Seattle at 2-2, which is nowhere near where they thought he'd be.
Yep.
Well, I don't think they really wanted him in the first place.
No, I don't either.
For Seattle to play their way out of a situation and make themselves competitive, more power to them. And the fact that they scored 48 points on the Putty Tats makes it even more attractive.
Miami Dolphins should be fine. What they did to it, that organization should be fine and suspended for what they did because somebody had a concussion. Why in the ham sandwich are you playing on Thursday night? That didn't make no sense whatsoever.
Well, no. This is a new phenomenon, G. We saw this last year, and the league didn't pay for it last year. They're paying for it this year. You play a game, and then you play another game 4 days later. Now, from a recovery standpoint, that's asking a lot. So, okay, you play the game Sunday. You play the game Thursday. After Thursday, you got 2 days to recover. You get in the cold tub. You do all the other things that you're supposed to do, but your body's not really right. And then you got another game to play. You know, you're past the point where the injury list isn't even a factor. But yeah, in a sensitive spotlight quarterback, you're putting somebody at risk. And the brother... And the brother from the Frontline series, Bennett Omalu, who said that they were risking people's lives, putting quarterbacks in situations like this, is front and center again out there saying, you can't do this. You know, take your money, go home, go live your life. That doesn't happen. You know that's not going to happen. But now you got a situation where a quarterback could well be writing the end of his career. And you weren't supposed to do that with only 2 or 3 years in. A quarterback is supposed to play at least 4 or 5 years. You get your pension, you sit down, you're happy. Risking yourself like that after a short span, I don't know what to think. I'm telling you, I think the league's not going to get sued, but they're going to have to do something because the situation is going to last too long. Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, what are they going to do? I read this week.
Yeah.
They get ready to go into a four-team European division. If they do that, how are they going to compensate for the travel time across the ocean the week before? need to read up before you do this. If you go to Europe.
No, travel is what the problem's going to be about. You got teams going to London, and you know you got teams going to London because Shad Khan owns the Jaguars.
Right.
Now, whether they do that or not and stick London permanently in the European division, I don't know.
Well, they're talking about London, Berlin, Spain, and Germany.
Well, I know they're talking about it, but the bottom line is they know from running NFL Europe that Germany would be one location for sure.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Why would you have teams running games in Germany and London when you know the time frame for a team to get healthy after playing a game in Germany or London?
Never mind the
travel time. This is not like going from L.A. to the East Coast. This is a lot longer. And there's a lot more publicity, other stuff they want to have in the mix. You know, they want to make it an event. The games in London have been successful because of Shad Khan and the fact that maybe one day Jacksonville will be the London Jaguars. Maybe.
Yeah.
But they don't care. As long as the bodies are still fresh and can function, and this is what Dr. Owalo is saying, they're no better than the disposable heroes that we hear about in the
80s. Yeah. Well,
The Players Union is going to say something. And in the Players Union is the invisible one, they're in trouble. They're not going to get anything out of this that's going to benefit them.
Why couldn't they not expand
to
Toronto and Mexico City?
Maybe because they don't want to. The bottom line is they were going to expand. This is something that Goodell wanted from the beginning. Expansion was A1 on the list. They didn't say where they were going to expand. And they were going to get the biggest bang for their buck. Now, Toronto seems like it would be a no-brainer. But there's other things going on up there. There's a lot of money at stake.
Well, also, what is the CFL doing?
You get the CFL competing against the NFL.
Right.
Even if they did, do you really think they'd win? The NFL would beat the CFL. Straight up in presentation, publicity, everything. They have a better product to offer. At least they would make it seem as if they had a better product to offer. CFL Stadium, they don't carry more than 25,000, maybe 30,000 people in a venue, with the exception of BC Place, which holds about 65,000. Everything in the CFL is scaled down smaller. And they simply just won't attract a big market like Toronto unless they are full behind getting Toronto in the NFL.
Right.
Or the IFL, International Football League, whatever you want to call it. You know, they need that.
All righty. Well, what you got to cook about my right?
Well, tomorrow night, we're going to be cooking something in the lab, a little special stuff, a little monster mash where you can get your funk on, and one of my favorites where we fool around with a little sci-fi and a little sci-fi groove, and see what we can come up with, 9 o'clock,
All right.
Music Therapy Mindstream. Come and enjoy. And as always, go safe, stay safe, and be safe. Code Caravan, Soul Patrollers, by all means, get out there, have fun. But if you're going somewhere, please be careful. And
yes, sir.
Like I
said,
COVID's
no joke.
COVID's no joke. Thank you, my brother. Take care. All right.
Beat the UAL, we rebel. Satan. And whoop his nose. Later on in the evening, BYU is at Notre Dame. And BYU is at them. But then I well, we got, I'm looking for the USC game. I can't find it. Okay, USC plays, who they play tonight? I know it's top 10 school, Washington. That should be interesting tonight. USC is at Washington State at 4:30 this evening. So there you have it. The FCS Bowl is North Dakota State 1, South Dakota State 2, Montana 3, Montana State 4, Sac State 5, Jackson State number 7, and SIU number 17. All right. Other news, LPGA, last week in Texas for the Aztec Mountaineers of America Classic, Charlie Hall slid by Zuan Lin by one stroke and Lilia Cole by the third place. This week during Southern California for the Medellin Championship. PGA and the PGA we have a problem with the LIV Tour. Last week there at the Mississippi Sanderson Farm Championship. Mackenzie Hughes defeated Tim Sequeira in a 2-0 playoff. This week it is Runners Children's Cup open this weekend. WTA, they're all over the place as a major end of the season. They're in Japan. They're in Kazakhstan. They're in Tunisia and the Czech Republic. This week, and the China Open and the Shanghai Open both have been canceled. Next week is the San Diego Open and the Transylvania Open in Romania. NASCAR. Last week is the Yellow Wood 500 with Chase Elliott winner and Talladega Motor Speedway. This week is Toronto Motor Speedway for the Place of America 400. Formula 1. Last week they were in Singapore and Sergio Perez wins, breaking Verstappen's winning record of 6 in a row. Leclerc and Sainz come 2 and 3. Hamilton made the top 10 after running into the barrier. The Red Bull team did the commanding lead in the Constructors' Cup and will break the Mercedes-Benz record of 8 in a row. So the Red Bull racing team will break the Mercedes-Benz team with a 200-point lead going into 4 races left. This week is the Japanese Grand Prix, and the Mercedes team took the first practice run 1 and 2. So tomorrow morning, the Japanese Grand Prix tomorrow morning. And there you have it for today. We'll see you next week. Say. bad time, same bad station. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you, Michael Lucy Group, for going home. I'll do it again this week. And my SIU Saluki the job. They are winning 38-14. Great job, Salukis. As they continue to do what they're supposed to do. When the Missouri Valley